me. Yes. Right before the end of 2018, I got myself the AMC A-List membership. And what that does is I get 3 movies a week for about $19.95 a month. It's not for everybody, but it's perfect for me because I have 3 AMC affiliate theaters within about a 10 to 15 minute drive from my house. So it's not for everybody, but it's perfect for me. Anyway, here's the sitch. This is the part of the show where I list the 3 movies that I just saw, and after a bit of back and forth, a bit of tete-a-tete, a bit of dialogue, I will pick my movie of the week. So strap in your grandmothers, because it's time for another butt-numbing installment of Steve Stubbs of the Week! So, hey kids, you guys doing good? You guys doing all right? Okay. Do I wait for Bunny now? I was confused. He cut out when he was giving me directions. I should probably just keep going. Well then, Bunny, my friend, let's talk movies. This particular episode of Steve Stubbs represents my 29th consecutive week with this AMC A-List thingamajigger. So that means, let me do some quick maths. 2 + 2 = 4. That means that I have just seen, if you can believe this, my 87th movie in an AMC theater since mid-December of 2018. That's a lot of movies. It's gotten to the point where, like, we're watching TV, and then some commercial pops up for some movie that's going to be coming out on DVD, and I'm like, I've seen that. Critics are raving over. Wasn't that good. Seen it. It's weird that I've seen almost every movie of 2019. Very, very strange. So, I want to wait to say what 3 movies I saw in theaters until Bunny comes back. So let me take a quick pause. This week that I'm about to do, after the week that's coming up, the live-action Lion King movie comes out, and nothing else. Absolutely nothing else is coming out. And I don't want to go see another goddamn live-action Disney movie. There's already been, like, 2 this year. And now a 3rd one. Like, I'm so done.
Yes. I'm understandable. I said yes, understandable.
Oh, yeah. I try and see whatever new movie comes out, but this week it's the Lion King. I might not go see it this week. I might just say F it.
Yeah,
Natasha saw it. I don't think I'm gonna go see it. We'll figure it out.
Yeah,
but anyway, this week I saw the following 3 movies in theaters: Stuber, Crawl, and Midsommar,
okay.
Now let's discuss the 2 movies that were not chosen. First off, Stuber. I had real high hopes for this movie. It's Kumail Nanjiani and Batista, and it's sort of like a buddy cop thing. And the previews looked really good, and so I went to go see the movie. First off, the movie has a plot that none of the trailers showed. And I think that was a mistake on their part.
Yeah.
I think the previews were really funny, but the previews should have been more about the plot. Because the plot is that the Batista's a cop, his partner is shot by a drug dealer, and he spends, you know, years trying to track down this drug dealer. And so he finally his chief makes him take some time off. So he's like, yes, I'm gonna just you know, take a vacation. In fact, Batista wears glasses in the beginning. He decides to get laser surgery on his vacation. So he gets laser surgery in the morning, and then he's like, okay, you need to rest for 24 hours. But then immediately after the surgery, after he gets the surgery, he gets a tip that, he's coming here. He's going to, this is your chance to get this drug dealer. So he's so pissed that this drug dealer killed his partner, and he's so thirsty for revenge that he decides to still try and catch this guy, despite the fact that he's blind from laser surgery.
Okay.
Which is why he calls an Uber, and the Uber driver's name Stu. So basically, this is a comedy version of that Tom Cruise movie where Tom Cruise is like a murderer and Jamie Foxx is driving him?
Collateral.
Yeah, this is a comedy Collateral, because this guy just hijacks an Uber driver and forces him to drive around all day while they get into shootouts and they're trying to track down this murderous drug dealer.
Okay.
Like, it's pretty... The movie was just okay, but the problem was the script wasn't there. The script just isn't that good, and it could be funnier. But that's not the fault of the two stars, because they do great. And you can tell that they get along, and both of them have been doing like the talk shows and the talk show rounds and stuff.
Right.
And I have learned that Batista's just the nicest fucking guy. There was one interview that Kumail Nanjiani did where he was talking about how on the last day of shooting, Batista literally bought a thoughtful, sometimes super expensive gift for every single solitary person on the entire crew.
Really?
Not just for his cast. He got a gift for everyone. The makeup person, the gaffer, the second gaffer, the third script girl. He went and got presents for everyone. And apparently, just Batista is just the nicest fucking dude.
Yeah.
And then I saw some an article about Batista, and apparently he left the WWE to be an actor, and he's doing auditions, and he's not getting any parts, and he's running out of money, and the WWE's like, you know, he's come back to us, and he's like, no, I'm gonna try and make it as an actor. And he's going to auditions, and he's not getting anything, and he's starting to run out of money, and he's starting to be broke, and he's living out of his car. But still, he's going to auditions, and he's like, I'm not going back to WWE until I've made something of myself. And he has he's running out of money, and he's getting to be super broke. That's when he auditions for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Really?
So once he wrapped this big, huge Marvel movie, is finally when he said, okay, Triple H, let's schedule a time. Now I can come back. It makes sense that now he's starring in this movie, and yet he's still just the nicest dude, you know, and he's been through so much shit that now, like, I hate Batista the wrestler. I love Batista the actor.
Yeah, so do I.
Batista the person, you know?
Batista the person.
And he's great in Guardians of the Galaxy, and, like, I really wanted Stuber to be a real big hit. It's not the best movie in the world, but it's not the fault of the two main actors. They do a really good job. I honestly think that if you would have just filmed them, they could have ad-libbed a better movie than this, you know? But Stuber, it's okay.
It's
pretty good. The second movie that was not chosen for my pick of the week, Midsommar. Last week's Steve Stubbs pick of the week. It blew me away.
Yes.
It blew me away. When I first saw Midsommar, it blew me away. And I was trying to figure out ways to explain the movie, but without like giving away a bunch of spoilers and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I started tweeting a series of what I thought to be accurate descriptions of the movie Midsommar. So I've got a few Midsommar descriptions here.
Okay.
You, okay. Midsommar is what I imagine Wes Anderson's wet dream was.
Okay.
Wes Anderson's first wet dream was the movie Midsommar.
Nice. All right.
Okay. Midsommar is the movie Hostel, but for people who donate their cars to NPR.
Okay.
Midsommar is basically what happens when you reach the final OT level. That's when they give you the mushroom tea and you start tripping and
yeah.
The trees are breathing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's Midsommar. Midsommar blew me away. And I was checking my AMC app and it showed me that Midsommar was about to leave theaters because no one in Oklahoma wants to see this weird ass cult movie. So I found the last showing in my town.
Wow.
In my city of Midsommar and went to it. It was at 4 p.m. I was the only one in the theater, and it was just a wonderful time. Until the drugged American starts having sex with the 13-year-old, then I just felt like a pervert.
Okay. Was that in the theater or in the movie?
In the movie. In the movie. Okay. In the movie. Yeah. See, it's a good movie. The one thing that distracts me in the movie Midsommar is the cast. Because the woman who is basically the star is the same actress who played Paige in the WWE movie that came out this year and was actually not that bad.
Okay.
Shockingly. That was the movie Fighting With My Family. It's a WWE movie about actual WWE people, but the surprising thing is that it doesn't suck. So she stars in the movie. And then Chidi is in it. Chidi from The Good Place.
Okay.
You ever seen The Good Place? You haven't seen The
Good Place yet? We covered it.
I love The Good Place. That's such a good show. Anyway, Chidi from The Good Place is in this. He's another grad student. Never date grad students. And he's basically Chidi.
Yeah, we covered The Good Place on the show.
Oh, yeah, no. We saw a couple of episodes of The Good Place. No, we saw, like, the first season, didn't we?
No, I think just two. Well, we watched a couple of them. Yeah.
We watched a couple of them. So then Chidi's in it, and the girl who played Paige in the WWE movie. And then there's this other guy in the movie, and he's the douchebag American who he spends most of the movie vaping.
Okay.
That gives you a good example of what type of douchebag we're talking about here. And he looks just like Sid, the bad guy from the first Toy Story movie. And that was really distracting.
Yeah. That okay. Sid,
the kid who lived next door and tortured toys for fun. It was weird that he was in the movie. But Midsommar is just the best. And I can't wait to do it in the podcast. It's going to awesome. Be amazing. If you see Midsommar playing at your local like discount theater or whatever, you really got to check it out. It's fucking mind-blowing. There are a million things that I could talk about the movie, but I want to keep it like a surprise. So I'm not talking about a lot of things, but oh my God, what an amazing movie.
We might have lost our cheap theater.
Oh, that sucks.
Like, I don't know what happened. We were looking for something. And it seems like it's still a discount theater, but they were playing current shit.
Huh. Then I don't know.
So I have no idea.
I don't know. Huh.
I would hate to lose a cheap theater.
Oh, yeah. The cheap theaters are the best.
Yeah.
And finally, the Steve Stubbs Pick of the Week is... The Florida horror film Crawl. Now, there's a specific reason why this film was picked, but we're not going to get to that
till okay.
the end of this. So basically, here's the plot. Florida, hurricane's coming, but not a lot of people were like evacuating because, oh, the news said that it's not going to hit us, but oh no, it looks like it is going to hit Florida. And so everyone's evacuating. And so there's a daughter and a dad, and they have an estranged relationship. The dad used to be a
mom,
like the daughter's swim coach.
Okay.
And he was really strict on her. And now she's in college and she's on the swim team and she doesn't talk to her dad. Well, the hurricane's coming and no one's heard from the dad. So this white chick decides to ignore the mandatory evacuation and head into the worst of the storm to try and save her dad. And apparently her dad was boarding up the walls in the crawl space. And that's when the hurricane hit and the flooding hit. And as you see, when the daughter is driving into the hurricane area, apparently the dad lives A, in the swamp, and B, near a touristy alligator farm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the movie spends 80% of the film stuck inside of that crawl space, hence the title Crawl, because, oh no, they're in there, and oh no, so are some alligators, and they're angry and vicious. And the crawl space keeps getting flooded-er and flooded-ier. And it's a decent, you know, horror thriller.
Yeah.
It feels like a modern-day B-movie, but with decent CGI to back it up. The special effects are really realistic. It looks like a hurricane. It doesn't just all look like green screen and shit.
But has there ever been a good alligator movie? You know, I mean, it just seems to be one of those things. Like, we keep getting alligator movies. I can't think of a single one that was any good.
Yeah. No, I can't think of anything.
So go ahead. What are you kicking out here?
I was going to tell you why this is the pick of the week.
All right.
So I always tweet the A-list movies when I go to the movies. I'm always tweeting about it. Because tweeting about going to see these different movies was my way to be less lonely when I went to go see 80 movies alone.
Yeah. You know?
And so I'm tweeting about Crawl, and I really take Crawl to task on Twitter. Okay. This is a good film, this is a fine film, but to be fair, hey, makers of Endgame, American Dad already did this. Specifically, American Dad, Season 7, Episode 2. The episode is entitled Hurricane, and Fox Animation decided to do a gimmick wherein all three of the Fox animated programs would have a hurricane happen at the exact same time. And so it was a hurricane night, and each show dealt with a hurricane in one way or the other. So, a hurricane is coming to American Dad, and everyone wants to leave, but the dad says to stay in the house because he's like waterproof the house or whatever. And so the house starts flooding. And then the house is turned upside down like the Poseidon Adventure.
Okay.
And then that's when the sharks enter the house.
Okay.
And I told I was on Twitter and I'm like, hey, hashtag Crawl. Hey, makers of Crawl. You know, American Dad already did this, but with sharks instead of alligators. And I also said that that the movie was unbelievable. I also tweeted that I had no sympathy for the characters. My review was originally Crawl. What happens when white people don't listen to the fucking mandatory evacuation?
Yeah.
You know, I had no sympathy for any of the characters in this movie. They brought it on themselves. Mandatory evacuation.
And
if you stay and your house gets flooded and filled with alligators, It's like, oh, well, this is why you should have evacuated. So I had no sympathy for those white folks.
But also,
then I got home, and I thought I was done tweeting, but I decided to look up Crawl on Rotten Tomatoes, and at one point in time, it had a 100%, but at the time, it was at 88%, and I'm like, why the fuck is Crawl an 88% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes? It's not like it's winning the Cannes Film Festival.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's a decent... But, and then I wrote on Twitter, this is a decent B-movie, but that's it. Essentially, Crawl is Sharknado, but done seriously. Yeah. Oh no, a hurricane and alligators! It's a hurricane!
But in any kind of movie like this, any kind of animal attack sort of thing, you know, you're cheating the audience if you don't make that as realistic as possible. You know, because that's where the real terror comes in, you know?
Yeah.
And
speaking of keeping it realistic, the movie is about a daughter and a dad, and I'm assuming they're immortal. Because it's ridiculous how fucked up they get and they're still alive.
Really? Okay.
The dad, when the daughter finds the dad's already been bitten massively on the shoulder and there's just so much blood and it's a deep, deep gash of the teeth and you can see the teeth marks on his shoulder and how deep it is. And then also he's been bitten on his leg and that one's so bad that the bone is coming out.
Ooh.
And then later in the movie, he drowns and dies, and the daughter does CPR, and it's one of those cheesy movie things where she's doing CPR. It's not working, but you know what will work when I give up and just start banging on your chest, and then I start crying because it didn't work? That's always when the guy comes back to life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's bitten in the shoulder. He's bitten in the leg so bad that the bone is sticking out. Then he dies, and then an alligator rips off his entire arm.
No, so well, anyway, you know, you're dead. Oh, he survived?
He survived. Of course he survived.
Is this a Rob Zombie movie?
Fucking immortal. The daughter is bit like three different times. I think these people are immortal. I was hoping that when the alligator finally ripped the dad's arm straight off, that finally the screenwriters would go, yeah, this is just a bullshit movie. Why? We might as well have him say, 'tis but a scratch.
Yeah.
That's how much these people are getting hurt. Well, Bunny.
Yes.
Apparently, the two screenwriters are on Twitter, and they have a lot of time on their hands.
Really? Did you get into a Twitter war with the screenwriters?
No! They liked every attack I did on this movie.
Nice, okay.
They liked everything that I said. They even wrote back at one... In my last dig, they actually wrote back, I don't know. Maybe we could have won Cannes if we were nominated. Probably not, LOL. And that's when I'm glad that I didn't dig into the movie too much, because these guys, you know, they got a movie deal, and they made this movie, and then it came out, and it got good reviews, and they're on Twitter, and they're searching the hashtag for the movie, and they're liking the praise and they're liking the criticism.
Yeah, okay.
The fact that people are talking about their movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, fucking, I hate this movie, but I like you guys.
But you also have to keep in mind that screenwriters are really, really used to being fucked over.
Yeah.
Okay, like that's...
Yeah, so it's like...
So they're probably sitting watching the fucking movie. They wrote the movie, but during the process of making the movie... They made them make so many fucking changes to the screenplay that it's not even clear who actually wrote the script anymore, you know? Yeah. And it is in no way the movie that they intended. So I could see them. I've seen other screenwriters rip up their own movies, you know?
Yeah. So the screenwriters who wrote the movie Crawl are really fucking nice. And so so what I did on Twitter after that, I'm not proud of. I was trying to sell them my idea for a sequel.
Yeah.
Crawl 2, this time with crocodiles.
Oh.
And they liked that idea, but then I said, oh, well, if they're going to like any idea that I come up with for a sequel for their movie, let's really give them the old razzmatazz. So I said, okay, here's my idea for Crawl 2. It all centers around a handsome, yet warm and lovable Mexican storyteller. He reads stories to children, some of them so young that they're only crawling. See what I did there?
Yeah. It was very subtle. Yeah.
Well, one day during one of his incredibly hilarious story times, that's when a tsunami shows up. And guess what? The place where our lovable Mexican hero is doing the story time is right next door to a piranha factory.
Yes.
Boom. Yes. Tsunami piranhas.
Uh-huh.
And I told him, even if
you and don't a lot like of good kids idea, for victims.
Yeah. Tsunami piranhas. And I told them on Twitter too, even if you don't like the idea for the movie, feel free to take that band name, Tsunami Piranhas. That sounds like the name of a band of a character in a TV show where this person has to be kind of edgy and funny and different, so let's make him in a band.
Yeah.
That's Tsunami Piranhas.
Yeah, okay, I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah. The Tsunami Piranhas, it'd have to be at the in the beginning. So yeah, that's Crawl. They liked the fact that I said, one good thing about Crawl, it's an hour and 27 minutes. It's less than half an end game.
Yes. I'm just saying, so we don't need any more alligator movies ever again.
Yeah. I see so many movies and it's like, you don't have to be 2 hours and 45 minutes, Aquaman. Why are you this long? You're Aquaman. So it was nice to go to Crawl and like, oh shit, it might actually still be bright when I get out of this theater. That's nice. This is a short film. It realizes that it's sort of a silly film and it's like, okay, we can be in and out of here in like
yeah.
27 minutes. Like, good for you.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's Crawl. It's not the best movie. It's good for what it is.
Yeah.
You know? It's one of those movies. It's pretty good for an alligator trying to pick people off film. I guess.
Yeah.
As far as those go, then it's pretty good. So that's it for Steve Stubbs this week. Next week, The Lion King comes out. I might not go see it.
Yeah.
In fact, what I'm going to try and do, and it might be difficult, but what I'm going to try and do next week is, I'm just going to say, next week I'm going to focus on doing my part for America.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to work on next
week. Okay.
I can't delve any further into it. You'll just have to listen next week. So join us next week for more Steve Stubbs of the Week.